To the Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Yeshua, as we pick up in John chapter 3, verse 18. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What is his name? Yeshua. The Lord is salvation. Jesus came to save. That's what his name implies. Thou shalt call his name Yeshua, for he shall save his people from their sins. He didn't come to condemn. He came to save. His name implies his mission. Jesus declared it plainly. He said, I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And what is the condemnation? That light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be manifested. But he that doeth the truth comes to the light, that his deeds might be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What is the condemnation? That men won't come to the light. Now, God forbid, but if you will... In the future, if you are standing with that throng in Revelation 20 before the great white throne judgment of God, and the books are open, and you are to be judged out of the things written in the books, and when your name is finally called and you have to stand before God naked, open, and God opens the books and the indictment is made against you, there will only be one charge. There's not going to be going down the list of every lie you told or everything you stole or every wrong thought or action or deed you ever had. There's only going to be one indictment: your failure to come to Jesus Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. Light has come into the world, but men won't come to the light. And that's why they are condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. You don't need that Jesus should condemn you. You're already condemned. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't need to. You already are condemned. But now the issue is not so much the evil that you have done, but your rejection of the provision, the only provision that God has made whereby men might come to him, whereby men might have the forgiveness of their sins. So there will only be one indictment against man. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit is come, he's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they didn't believe in me. You see, that's the only sin that's going to damn your soul. Any other thing you may have ever done is forgiven. Christ died for the sins of the world. God laid upon him the iniquities of us all. His death satisfied God completely for the sin of all humanity. There is only one charge, an indictment that God will make against a man: his failure to come to the light, his failure to receive God's provision. Now, after these things came Jesus and his disciples to the land of Judea. So they had come down to the area around Jerusalem. And he tarried there with his disciples and baptized. So it would seem that the disciples of Jesus were at this time beginning to baptize people. And John also was baptizing in Enon near to Salem because there was a lot of water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John, and they said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with you beyond Jordan, to whom you bore witness, behold, the same is baptizing, and all men are coming to him. So they came to John, and they said, that one that you bore witness to, you said, the Lamb of God and all, he's baptizing now, and everyone is going to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it is given to him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Messiah, but that I was sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, and this my joy therefore is fulfilled, for he must increase and I must decrease. Beautiful humility of John in taking his rightful place. He said, you bear witness that I testified of him. Now look, he's the bridegroom. I'm just the best man. It's the bridegroom who takes the bride. But his best man rejoices when he hears him, and herein I rejoice because of the bridegroom's voice, and my joy therefore is fulfilled. How? In bringing honor and glory to Jesus. For he must increase, and I must decrease. So say we all. Now he that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that is what he testified, and no man received his testimony. This is pretty much what Jesus said to Nicodemus. No man has ascended into heaven, but he which came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which was in heaven. And I've told you earthly things, and you believe not. How would you believe if I told you of heavenly things? So he speaks of Jesus coming down from heaven, but no man receiving his testimony. And he that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. When you receive the testimony of Jesus Christ, there is sort of a seal, a stamp in your heart. You know that's true. The Spirit of God has borne witness to my own heart of the truth of God. There are things I just know are true. You say, how do you know they're true? I just know they're true. There is that seal. The Spirit just bears witness to the truth. And you just know it. The oedus, the just intuitive knowledge. For he whom God hath sent speaks the words of God. For God did not give to him the Spirit by measure, or just apportioned out to him, but the fullness of the Spirit dwells in Jesus Christ. Not just measured out, but that fullness. And the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Now, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. And he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So this is the final witness of John the Baptist concerning Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. But if you believe not, you have not life. You'll not even see life, but conversely, the wrath of God abides upon you. Now, when the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized none but his disciples. Now, this can mean one of two things. Jesus baptized not but his disciples, or he only baptized his disciples, or he didn't baptize at all. It was only his disciples who were baptizing. So you have a choice. But when Jesus heard that John had heard these things, or the Pharisees had heard these things, he left Judea. The Pharisees heard now that Jesus was baptizing even more than John. So he left the area of Judea, the area near Jerusalem where most of the Pharisees hung out. And he departed and went again into the area of Galilee, from Judea on up into Galilee. And he had to go through Samaria, for Samaria lies between Judea, Jerusalem, and the Galilee. The area of Samaria lies between the two, through the middle part of the country. Now, he came to a city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, or Shechem, near a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now, Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat on the well, for it was about noon. And there came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, are asking me for a drink when I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank from it himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And the woman said unto him, "Sir, give me some of this water, so I will never thirst again, and I won't have to come out here and draw water every day." Now, up to this point, this woman is being rather saucy with Jesus, sort of pert and cute. She's not a very upright woman. In fact, she's sort of a low moral character. She's probably very well known in Shechem because of her not so illustrious past. She's got a bad reputation. She's probably known as a flirt and available, and probably that kind who is pretty worldly wise and able to handle men pretty well, and that type which every man is sort of a challenge. So when she came to draw water and saw this person sitting there, and he said to her, "Would you give me a drink?" Rather than just obliging and giving him a drink without saying anything, she has to open up the door and said, "How come you're asking me for a drink? You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan, and we're not supposed to have dealings with each other." And Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that was asking you for a drink, you would have been asking him for a drink. Now, I'm sure that her motives in talking to Jesus at this point are far different from his. But she continued on and said, why would I ask you for a drink? That well is deep and you don't have anything to draw with. And Jesus said, or she said, where are you going to get this living water? Are you greater than Jacob, who gave us this well? Jesus said to her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. When Jesus is talking to this woman about water, about living water, she did not understand what he was talking about. Even, I'm sure, as Nicodemus did not fully understand what Jesus was talking about when he first said, you've got to be born again. You know, he got this mental picture going back to his mother's womb. Jesus was talking again about spiritual things, and she was thinking only of material things. But Jesus said to her, if you drink of the spiritual water, the living water, you'll never thirst again. Oh, I like some of this water. So I don't have to come out here every day and draw from this well. So I won't get thirsty anymore. Now, the statement, he who drinks of this water shall thirst again. There Jesus is referring to that physical water in the well. Carrying it one step further. Jesus, in talking about thirst, spoke not of physical thirst, but of spiritual thirst. Man is a threefold being. He is body, mind, and spirit. And there are physical thirst. There are emotional thirst, and there is a spiritual thirst. Jesus said to the woman, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. That can be said of every physical experience that you might possess or seek or find. There are always those who feel, if I could just, and you fill in the blank, then I would be happy and satisfied. What's in your blank? If I just had blank, I would be satisfied and happy. It seems that man is always setting out a goal or a thing whereby he feels that if I could just achieve, if I could just attain, if I could just have, then I would be satisfied. I wouldn't be thirsty anymore. Jesus said, not so. You drink of this water and you will thirst again. Now, you ought to be able to prove that in your own mind, because surely in times past, you have set those temporary goals that you felt, if I could just have a new bicycle, I wouldn't want anything again as long as I lived, you know. I know there was a time when I lusted after a bicycle, and I thought, if I could just have that bicycle, oh, I would be just so happy. I would never want anything again as long as I lived. And I got that bicycle. But it wasn't long before, if I just had a speedometer on this bicycle, I wouldn't want anything again, you know. And then if I just had a headlight with a generator, oh, I would never want anything again. So there have been those intermediate goals that I have achieved and attained, but you know what? I thirsted again. They didn't fully satisfy me. As Jesus said, drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. And it has been true in my life as I have achieved those goals, those intermediate goals that I had established. And I thought, oh, if I could just have, and I then had, but it didn't satisfy. I thirsted again. But Jesus said, if you drink of the water that I give, you'll never thirst again. It'll be like a well of water just springing up inside of you. The woman said, "Sir, I'll take some of that water." And Jesus said, "Well, first go call your husband." And she said, "I don't have any husband. I'm available." And then Jesus said to her, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and you finally have just moved in with a man without marrying him." Now, notice the whole switcheroo of her attitude. No longer is she a cute little flirt. Her mask has been ripped off. You know, a lot of people go around wearing masks. They have a cute, clever exterior. "I can handle myself. I know how to get around. I don't need any help. I've got it made." But when that mask has been removed, underneath, there is a great thirst and a great need. And the thirst and the need that man has is for God, every man, no matter who they are.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of John on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning John 3 through 4. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you and bless you this week. May He watch over your lives and keep you in His love. May you abound in the love of Jesus Christ. May there just be that rich flowing forth in and from your life as God works in you His perfect work of love and grace. May God grant that you have just a special week of enjoying the goodness and the fullness of God and His love. In Jesus' name.
The Word for Today resource, Philippians Bible Study Series, is a 12-week Bible study workbook by Kay Smith that will help you be filled with joy and overcome fear and worry. Follow Kay as she takes you on a verse-by-verse discovery of the truths that enabled Paul to worship in shackles, rejoice in persecution, and walk joyfully through life's darkest places. This workbook also contains discussion points that help with personal applications and background information, ideal for both group settings and personal exploration. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.